Years ago, we got together in the community for a community building workshop. Some of you were there, I'm sure. I don't remember when it was or where it was. You know, I have a poor memory. I think it was in Silang or Tagaytay. Anyway, maybe 25 or 30 of us got together and had a series of community building exercises. And one of them had to do with, I guess, values, or I don't remember what it was called, but we all had a pile of money. Remember that? We all had a pile of money. I mean, play money, not real money. Maybe we had 100,000 pesos in paper bills, a bunch of thousands, a bunch of 500s, a bunch of hundreds. And all of us had the same amount of money. And then the facilitator would pick out of a box or something some kind of a value. And then we would bid on that thing, and then whoever paid the most would get it. So we pulled out, I don't remember, a bigger house, and nobody was interested. Somebody said, well, I'll pay $1,000, and somebody paid $2,000. And so it's almost nothing for a house, but yeah, might as well get a bigger house. And whoever paid the most got the house. And then different values, maybe a better career or travel the world, or I remember one of the things he pulled out was good health, and one of the participants immediately said, 50,000. Everybody was surprised, like, oh, you spent half your money? And she said, yeah, because she had been going through some health crises and just would really like to have good health. So that's how the game went. And I don't remember the other things, maybe happy marriage, maybe whatever, career advancement or something. And then he pulls out eternal salvation. And I don't know who realized it first. Somebody said, oh, 100,000. And everybody said, no, 100,000, 100,000. All the people started bidding 100,000. And the people who had spent money on anything else, of course, they couldn't bid, because the one who bought the house for 2,000 only had 98,000 left and couldn't buy eternal salvation with only 98,000. Well, I don't know what the facilitator thought was going to happen. Maybe in the corporate world, people wouldn't bid that much for eternal salvation. But in an Anuwim workshop, people realize right away, hey, the game's over. once you put the value, which is of ultimate value, then the rest of the values are worthless by comparison. Maybe that was the point of the game. I don't remember. But that's how I remember it. That once eternal salvation was up for bid, all the other things in the box made no difference, even if they were really important, right? Happy family, happy marriage, good health. Well, that was the lesson, and that seems to be connected to today's gospel. Jesus gives the parable of the treasure buried in a field. The man finds the treasure and then goes off and sells all that he has in order to buy that field. He goes out of joy and sells all that he has to buy that field. Why? Because that treasure is worth more than everything he has anyway. No big loss. There's no comparison. He'll be much better off with that treasure than with all the stuff he had accumulated over the years. Same with the parable of the pearl of great price. Once you find the pearl of great price, all the other pearls are of no value by comparison. So sell them all and get that one. Now, we can understand. I think that's a very clear image, and it makes perfect sense to us. If something is of ultimate value, well then, sacrificing lesser things just makes good sense to us. We don't regret selling things that are of lesser value if we gain something of greater value. It's no big sacrifice, or at least in theory, it's no big sacrifice. In practice, well, we really like some stuff, and we would like to have both eternal salvation and good health and a big house and popularity and a happy family. We would love to all have that. We like to have it all. But if we have to sacrifice something, I mean, who's not willing to sacrifice a car to have a happy marriage? They're not. I hope almost anybody would sacrifice a car for a happy marriage. Because maybe some people who sacrifice their marriage for the car, well, then of course they're not going to have a happy marriage anyway. But you know, it's pretty obvious what's more important. And when you put something of ultimate concern like eternal salvation, it's pretty obvious. But like I say, we would like it to be different. And so when things don't go the way we like, even if we have chosen the kingdom of heaven, even if we've chosen eternal salvation, when things go badly for us, our health breaks down, or our relationships break down, or we lose our job, we are unhappy about it. We're not joyful about the sacrifice. I think this is something like what the prophet Jeremiah experiences in today's first reading. He has been chosen by God as a prophet. When he discovered the word of God, he was so delighted. He devoured the words of God, he says. They became my joy and the happiness of my heart. And then, because being a prophet is not easy, he becomes an outcast. Everybody hates him. And he's exiled from the circle of merrymakers. He doesn't have joy in this world. And he thinks that that's a pretty bad deal. Starts to think that he's unhappy when in fact he was happy to have the word. So this is what he's struggling with in his complaint to God. Why is my pain continuous, Lord? Why is my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? He's starting to sink into some self-pity here. He's talking to the Lord though, which is a good thing. And then, now, yeah, it's true that he has continuous pain. It's true that he has lots of sacrifices. It's true that people are opposing him, sometimes even violently. But then he says, speaking to the Lord, you have become for me a treacherous brook whose waters do not abide. That's the turning point. It's one thing to say I'm unhappy with how things are going. I wish people didn't hate me. It's another thing to say God is not faithful. And that's when the Lord responds and says, wait a minute here. Maybe you're unhappy about being unpopular. Maybe you're unhappy about being excluded from the circle of merrymakers, but you can't accuse me of being unfaithful to you. You can't accuse me of being waters that do not abide, of being untrustworthy. No. Let's get this straight. I've chosen you to be my prophet, to be my mouthpiece. I've given you an extraordinary mission and I'm on your side. Now, if they oppose you, well, okay, I'll make you a wall of brass. They're not going to defeat you. You might not like it, but let's get things straight. Human popularity or acceptance or success or good health or any of the earthly values, that's fine if you have them. But if you don't have them, you can't complain to God that you're being cheated or that he's being unfaithful. I am with you to deliver you and rescue you, says the Lord. I will free you from the hand of the wicked. I will rescue you from the grasp of the violent. In other words, the Lord is saying, you're complaining about lesser things and losing sight of what's really important. You're bidding $2,000 on a new house when you should be bidding $100,000 on eternal salvation. Now get it straight. Okay. I think that lesson is very clear. Now, once we get that clear and we accept it, yes, we are here for eternal salvation. And what we pass through in the meantime is of relatively little concern. But we still have to make decisions about what we do. We still have to make payments on our house, and we have to work, and we have to raise our families, and we have to figure out how much to spend on health insurance and there's still a lot of things we have to decide on, and we have relationships that have to be worked on. And this is the journey through this valley of tears. The man who finds the treasure and sells everything and buys that field, has that huge treasure, he still has to buy food. He still has to, you know, keep up his relationships. can't just abandon his family and sit on a pile of money. Well, that's not a treasure. So the image, even though it's true and it points out the ultimate value, it doesn't explain how we're supposed to figure out these lesser things, which are still our responsibility. That's not what the parables are for. But they are telling us, keep what is of ultimate concern, keep what is most important at the top of your list of priorities. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and all your strength. It's the first commandment. Keep that one first. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then all the rest of the stuff, it will fit into place. But if you lose track of that first one, the whole system is in chaos, and you start spending your money on what will never satisfy, and you won't be able to buy the treasure. You won't be able to grasp or possess the pearl of great price. Okay. Out of joy, we sell all we have and buy that field. Out of joy, we go out, we are willing to sacrifice everything for that pearl of great price.